help us refresh our minds. A few weeks ago, me, my wife, Reham, and my son, Rani, and my daughter, Reina, we went to a shopping center. It was Eastland Shopping Center. And we had a lovely time. We had a lunch in the food court, and everyone chose the kind of food he loves, and this was like a celebration. And after that, we made some shopping. And when we were on our way to the parking area, I discovered that I lost the car's key. It wasn't there. It wasn't. I hadn't the key, and I asked Reham, Rani, Reina, anyone has the car's key? No. And you know, when this happens, a lot of thoughts jump to your mind at a moment. I don't know how many here had one day an experience like this. I lost the key, and I may lose the car. If any bad guy found the key, he will go to the parking area and try the remote until my car flashes or acts, and we will not find the key, and then we will go home and break the door to bring the spare key, and this will be a very big cost to repair the door. And if this would happen, if this doesn't work, I will call the insurance company to fix the situation. And you know, a lot of thoughts, and all these thoughts jumped to my mind when we were back on our way to find our key. Of course, the stairs, the escalators, the food court. We surveyed the food court. We asked the cleaners there about the key, and finally, a person asked us to go to the depository office, and we hurried up to the depository office, the location that you go to find the lost things. And we hurried to this office, and I just saw my key there on the desk, and I felt very happy, and I actually my heart started celebrating, and a party, because all the bad thoughts gone in a second. And all this happened because I lost a key or a car or amount of money to fix the problem. But the worst happened 4 years ago in July 2014, when I was in my country, and a relative had been kidnapped. One day he didn't go home, and the day after, the kidnappers called the family and asked for a ransom to get him back. And a negotiation started between the family and the kidnappers to reduce the amount, because it was a very big money. And they succeeded and reduced the ransom, like from million to 300,000. they paid the ransom somehow, but they lost this man forever because he didn't get back, and all the evidences said that he was killed or he was dead because he had a diabetes and blood pressure, and he hadn't his medicine, and who knows what happened when they kidnapped him, and he was dead. It's very hard to lose something. It's much harder to lose someone or somebody or a human being. And in our chapter today, which is Luke 15, I hope you keep your Bibles open to follow. It starts with these words: now the old tax collectors or tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near him, that is Jesus Christ, to listen to him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble or complain, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." This was the situation. Who were the tax collectors or the tax gatherers? The tax collectors were Jewish men who purchased from the Roman officials the right to collect various taxes and customs and tolls. The system abounded with abuses. The tax collectors were, as the tradition or the Jewish tradition says, cordially hated and despised by their fellow countrymen, not only because they were looked dishonest or greedy or money lovers, but because their dupe made them ritually unclean, because they kept communicating and relationship with the Roman, the Gentiles. And the Gentiles in the Jewish tradition were unclean. And everyone has a relationship or any dealings with the Gentiles becomes unclean. So the pious Jews saw the tax collectors as being alienated from God. These tax collectors were coming near to Jesus to listen to him. The other group coming near to Jesus, they were called sinners in verse 1. Tax collectors and sinners were coming near to him, to Jesus, to listen to him. Maybe this sounds strange. Why they are two categories of people, tax collectors and sinners? If both were sinners, but the tax collectors, maybe we can say that they were more sinful or the most sinful people in those days. You remember the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who went to the temple to pray in Luke chapter 18. Jesus used two extremes: the most righteous people and the most sinful people, the Pharisee and the tax collector, to say that the Pharisee, who seems that he is very righteous, was not accepted by God, and the tax collectors, who was the most sinful man, was accepted by God. This was the situation in the beginning of chapter 15 in the Gospel of Luke. This was the situation. And what was the accusation? What was the crime that Jesus committed to be accused? What was the accusation? This man receives sinners and tax collectors and eat with them and more, as we read in other passages. He even went into their homes. You remember Zacchaeus, the chief of the tax collectors, when he accepted Jesus Christ, Jesus went into his home and had a meal with him. And to have a meal is to spend the whole day with such persons. And more Jesus had in the 12 disciples of him. He has, one of them was tax collector. Who was that? Matthew, the writer or the author of the first gospel. So they say, this man loves the sinners. This man receive the sinners. This man eat with them. To picture or to draw a picture of the situation, you remember the woman in John chapter 8, the woman who was caught in adultery, and they took her to Jesus Christ to ask him what to do with this woman. The law says that a woman like this should be stoned, and they asked Jesus what to do or what's his opinion. You know the story, but suppose that after they finish and after Jesus saved the woman and the accuser's gone, Jesus said to this woman, "Oh lady, wait, I will come with you and I will go into your home and it will be my pleasure to have the lunch or the dinner with you today." Wow. This was very, very bad from Jesus to do this. This helps us why these Pharisees and the scribes grumbled or complained for the situation. Seeking joy. This is the topic or the title, and I chose this because in the three parables, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, what happened at the end of every parable? A celebration, right? A celebration. A big feast celebrating the finding these lost things or these lost persons. As I said, that it's a little hard for me to preach in English, and of course it may be harder for you to follow my sermon, but let us try together. In every parable we have lost thing or lost person, and we have a seeker or one who seeks the lost, and we have a celebration and those who were invited to celebrate. And you can help me in this. In the first parable, the parable of the lost sheep, what was lost? A sheep, one out of 100. And in the second parable, what was lost? A coin or silver coin, one out of 10. In the third parable, what was lost? What was lost? Son? Who says two sons? Two sons? Who agrees that the two sons were lost in the third parable. And one was found, that was the youngest one, but the other son, the older son, is still lost until today, because the parable ends with no indication that he was found. What Jesus wanted to say, you know now that Jesus wanted to teach these Pharisees and scribes something. The three parables have one theme or one idea, that about the joy or the celebration that happens in heaven, that God himself with his angels, they celebrate finding the lost, while the Pharisees and scribes, the leaders, the teachers of the law, those who should have or who should seek the lost, what they did when the heaven celebrates, what they do, they contemplate, they grumble, they murmur, they refuse, they don't accept that. And Jesus focuses in the three parables that, or maybe he wanted to ask, because actually there are three questions in the three parables. The question that repeats every time, shouldn't the shepherd celebrate because he found his lost sheep? Shouldn't the woman celebrate and rejoice because she found her lost coin? Shouldn't the father celebrate and rejoice because he found his lost son? Shouldn't you celebrate this, what Jesus wanted to say or to ask to the Pharisees and scribes? Shouldn't you celebrate and rejoice because these sinners repent now and God receives them and accepts them? Shouldn't, it is not time of grumbling, not time of contemplating, it is a time of rejoice. You see the contradiction between the two situations. When there is a celebration in heaven, there is grumbling among these Pharisees and among these scribes. Let me say some other words, or big words, I consider. The big word from the first parable, the parable of the shepherd and the sheep, is the responsibility and reputation. Responsibility and reputation. It was the shepherd's responsibility to go and to seek and to search until he finds his lost sheep. Maybe someone says it is dangerous, right? Was it dangerous for this shepherd to go and seek a lost sheep? Maybe someone says he still has 99. It doesn't matter to go and seek this sheep. But it is a matter of responsibility and reputation. It was the responsibility of the shepherd to find the lost sheep, and it was his reputation. His reputation was at risk. If he didn't do it, if he didn't go and seek the lost sheep, he would lost his reputation as a shepherd. No one would trust this shepherd or hire him to take care of his flock. So it is a reputation, and it is a responsibility. And as you see that when the shepherd found his or finds his lost sheep, he invites, he makes a big noisy. He invited all his friends and all the neighbors because he wants to get his reputation back. I am a good shepherd. I am responsible and I know my responsibility. I did the hard work to find my sheep. And the second parable, the parable of the lost coin, it was a matter of value. Remember these words. I know that you can take notes in the bulletin and there is a, you can put keywords, my 5 keywords of today. So you can take these words as the keywords. You can take these words, lost, seek, found, celebration. And you can take these big words, responsibility, reputation, and value. What does it mean when a woman in those days, in Jesus' days, loses her coin? It wasn't just a coin or silver coin. Because the 10 coins, it's like the wedding ring of today. The bridegroom at the wedding gives or offers his bride these 10 coins and she proudly and happily wear these 10 coins on her head all the time. As the woman today, the married woman today, wear the wedding ring proudly and happily. So the coin, it doesn't mean the value of the silver it has, or the coin itself as a dollar or $2, because these are the coins of today that we know. But so this coin means a relationship with her husband. So she searches everywhere, and it was very hard for a country woman in those days to search at her dusty and crowded house. It is not easy. And she seeks or she searches all the day and all the night and until she finds this coin. And when she finds the coin, what did this woman did or what does she do when she finds the lost coin? A big noisy. Do you imagine that a lady in these days loses a dollar or $2, and after she finds the dollar, she makes a big noisy and invites the neighbors and the friends and relatives and the church to celebrate. Rejoice with me, I found my lost dollar. They may be crazy. But if, suppose that in our days, the wedding ring, it is not the traditional wedding ring, but $10, $10, and every woman, all the time should happily and proudly wear these $10 on her head instead of the wedding ring. If she loses one of them, it deserves to make a big noisy when she finds the lost one of them. So the big word in the second parable is the value. This woman knows the value of the lost coin or the lost silver coin. And we come to the third one, the most lovable or the most story, the most we love in the Bible, in all the parables of Jesus Christ, that we used to call the prodigal, the prodigal son or the lost son. And the big word from the third parable is the relationship. Relationship. Remember these words with me. And from the first parable, the parable of the lost or the found sheep, we had two big words. What are these two words? Responsibility and reputation. The big word from the second parable, the parable of the woman and the lost or the found coin, is value. And the fourth word from the third parable is relationship. It's easy to say responsibility, reputation, relationship, and value. You can write these words as the keywords of today. Relationship. The lost two sons, actually, they both were lost. And let me ask, how did these two sons understood the relationship with their father? How did the youngest son understood that the relationship with his father was the benefits that he may get from his father, or the positions, or the heritage? And he took from his father his part of the positions, and when he took his part, what did he do? What did he say, actually? What did he say? Before what did he do? What did he say? After the youngest son took from his father all what he deserved to take, the money, the whatever, what did he say to his father? Or what did this mean? This means that, father, I don't want you anymore. I don't need you anymore. I have now my heritage, right? The word heritage. I have now my part of the heritage. And this all what I want. This all what I need. So I don't need you anymore. And he took his heritage and gone away. Because he didn't know. He didn't understand what does it mean to have a relationship with a father. What about the other son? The older son. How did he understand the relationship with his father? Can you answer me? Same thing. Right? Same thing. The benefits that he can get from this relationship. And how to get these benefits. When his younger brother came back, repented and came back to his father, what was his attitude or situation, his reaction? He said to his father, first he refused to celebrate. Remember the word, the biggest word, celebration. Our sermon today about seeking joy, seeking joy, seeking the real joy, the real happiness, the real pleasure. He refused to celebrate or to join this party. And when his father went out, begging him to go in and to join the celebration and the party, to rejoice because his son was dead and now he's alive again and he was lost and now he is found, he said angrily to his father, I serve you many years and never you given me a goat. When this son of yours came back, the son who who wasted or spent all your money. You killed the fatted calf. You can think in this language, in the terminology of this son. There is a saying or a quote that says, "Speak that I may know you. When you are silent, I don't know you, but when you speak, I know you." When the son spoke, we knew him. We know him now. "I serve you to get what you have." The relationship with the father for this older son meant to serve the father to get the benefits or to get blessings or to get the possessions or to get the heritage. And his father answered him, "All what I have is yours." Same language. "Because you are my son. You don't need, you don't want to serve me to take my things or to take my money or to take my farms or whatever. You already have and own all the things because you are my son and I am your father." But both sons did not understand what does it mean to be in a relationship with the father. And these two sons actually represent two big categories of people nowadays, here in Australia and everywhere, and everywhere. The first category of people says that we don't need God, there is no God, and we can live our life to the maximum by ourselves, by our possessions, by our wisdom, by our reason, by our mind, by our success, by our achievements, or whatever. We are happy without God. This is what the younger son said. "I am happy away of you. I am happy without you. I am happy with what I could have and what I could do." Right? And the other category are represented in or by the older son. They say, "If we just work harder, if we just do our best, we may get God's love or God's blessings. We may please God. We may get God's mercy or God's grace." A big, huge number of people, and I don't mean those who are non-Christians, but there is a lot of Christians who say or who think this way. "We just wanted to work harder to get God's mercy." It is mercy. It is grace. You don't do anything to get it. You just receive it. God wants to offer and give his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness, his redemption to everyone. Two sons, two categories of people we have today. To seek joy, the real, the genuine, the radical joy, is to seek the lost people, is to go after everyone and reach them with the gospel of Christ, with the good news. Because it is a matter of relationship. You remember? Don't forget these words. The first category of words is lost, seek, found, celebrate. And the second category of big words is responsibility, reputation, relationship, and value. Jesus is the good shepherd, of course, the good shepherd who came and sought and searched to the cross, to redeem us, to find us. He is the only one who values the relationship with the Heavenly Father and values what does it mean to seek and find the sinners and to save them. Jesus is our older brother. In the first parable, it was the responsibility of the shepherd to seek and find the lost sheep. Okay? Focus now. I will ask a big question. And in the second parable, the parable of the lost coin, and you now know what does it mean, the lost coin, the lost wedding ring. It was the responsibility of the woman to search, to seek this lost coin, because she knows the value of this coin. And the third parable, whose was the responsibility? Who should go and search and seek the lost son? What do you think? Was it the father or the older son? To go and search to until find the lost son. Was it the father's responsibility to go and search, or was it the older son's responsibility to do it? What do you think? Who says the father's responsibility? Raise your hands. Who says the older son's responsibility? And the rest of you. In my opinion, it was the responsibility of the older's son to go and to seek and to search until he finds his brother. Maybe the father wasn't in a good health to go and search. Maybe the father was old aged and he can't go everywhere, and it was very hard, very difficult to travel in those days. The one who was strong enough to travel and go and face all the hardships and the troubles, not the father, but the older son, the older brother. This is my opinion. But he didn't do. And he wasn't enough with not doing his responsibility, but when his brother came back, he even didn't rejoice. And this was the question that Jesus repeated, the question for the Pharisees and the scribes. Shouldn't the neighbors and friends rejoice with the shepherd because he found his lost sheep? And the answer, they should. The second question, shouldn't the friends and neighbors of the woman rejoice and celebrate it because she found her lost coin? And the answer is, they should. The third question, the same question. Shouldn't the whole village, because in the case of the shepherd and the woman, they just invited the neighbors. This is what the Bible says. The friends and neighbors, only the close friends and the neighbors in the street, those who knew that she lost her coin, or the shepherd lost his sheep. In the third parable, what happened? The whole village, the whole country knew that there is a son who gone away. And when he came, a big noise happened because this father ran fast to receive his son. So the whole village knew about his going away, and the whole village knew about his coming back. And we can understand that because the father killed the fatted calf. It was a bigger party. And they invited not only the neighbors and friends, but the whole village, the whole country, the whole people to celebrate. Jesus is our older brother. He didn't do the same what the brother of the parable did. Jesus Christ came down. Jesus Christ went to seek and search the lost brothers, to redeem them, to save them, to rescue them, to purchase them with his blood. I should close now. Two persons were walking in a street in the Brunswick area, and they saw an announcement put on the in the street everywhere, a picture of a dog, and the word is, what was written, that this dog is lost and there is a reward, $1,000. And one of them laughed, what, $1,000 to find this dog? And he concentrated or focused, and he found that this kind of dog deserves just not $500 or $600. And this was very strange. And it was shocking for this person. What? This lady pays $1,000 as a reward to find a $500 or $600 dog. Am I speaking English? Do you understand English? Yes. The other friend says, it is not a matter of the price. How does this dog cost? It is a matter of relationship. You don't know what does it mean to this lady to have a relationship or years of relationship with this dog until this dog becomes like her son. So she willingly pays $1,000 to rescue a dog that deserves only $500 or $600. This reminded me the price that God paid, the huge cost that Jesus costed on the cross when he offered his life, the precious blood, to save those who doesn't deserve even $1, because all of us were sinners. But Jesus' blood can save, can rescue. Celebrate the redemption, the salvation. Celebrate God's grace. Celebrate and worship all the time. But don't forget to go and search and seek those who are lost everywhere, everywhere. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise your precious name for your love, for your grace. Thank you because when we were lost, you came in Jesus Christ, and by his death and resurrection, you redeemed us, you purchased us for yourself, and get us back to a relationship, an eternal relationship with you as children with their dad, heavenly dad. Thank you. Help us to open our eyes and to go and seek those who are still lost. open our eyes and our ears to listen to their cries, crying, come over and save us. Help us, Jesus, to love everyone, to not grumble, to not complain, but to love, to help, and to reach everyone with the good news, with Jesus' gospel. In Jesus' name, we pray, seeking His glory, now and forevermore. Amen.